All right. Good morning. Good morning.
My husband's grandfather wrote a sefer on Tehillim, and I would like to send it's if you give me your email,
I would love to see it. I would
love. Rabbi Avram Resnick.
Okay. My email is very easy. It's Rabbi Silver at suburbanorthodox.org.
Okay.
Easy enough.
Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi
Silver. All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. All right. We still find ourselves in Kapitel Tes Vav, and I thought a little of Yetzirah today to do something a little bit more Purim related, but the truth is we'll find a beautiful Purim tie-in at the end as well. So again, just to reorient ourselves, so Kapitel Tes Vav, Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Mi'agor Ba'ohalecha Mi Yishkon Bahar Kodshecha. David HaMelech asking the ultimate question as to how one could find success both in this world as well as in the world to come. So two shiurim ago, we spoke about the ohel, the tent, being a reference to really the temporal nature of this world. Also the word yagur, temporary dwelling, yishkon bahar kodshecha, a reference to olam haba. David HaMelech asking, how does one ensure that one has a successful, meaningful, and impactful olam hazeh, as well as an enduring, beautiful, and fulfilling olam haba, world to come. Holech tamim ufal tzedek v'dover emes bilvavol. So what we accomplished last week is to really look at that first phrase of one who walks tamim. We're going to leave it undefined. Fo'al tzedek, does good things, dover emes bilvavo, and speaks truth in his heart. So we saw the three-pronged approach of Rav Hirsch, the three-pronged approach of the Zera Yaakov, and then towards the end of last week, we began to look at the word tamim independently. So the truth is, I'd like to spend one more shir. It's already too late. You're here, so there's no vote. I'd like to spend one more shir, just focusing on the word tamim. Because as we're going to see, it's a very important word. It's a very important word for a number of reasons. It's a very important word because it's one of the first adjectives that's ever used to describe a great person. The first compliment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Avraham Avinu is tamim, which we'll discuss. And also, it's used as an explicit mandate. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says to the Jewish people, tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Be complete with God. So God himself asks us to be tamim. So you'll give me a little bit, one more shir, just to focus on this one word, and then Emir Tzashem will go on to the various attributes. So take a look at number two. So there's a fascinating Gemara Maseches Makos. The Gemara says, holech tamim. Now again, let's go back for a second. How do we simply define that word, tamim? Complete, good. Remember, we know for sure what it's not. It's not perfect, right? Because perfection is not in the Jewish lexicon. Well, it is. Perfection is, but it's only used in the application by God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that interestingly enough, we know that Rachmana Litzlan, when a person has to bury a relative, so there's a tefila of tzidok hadin, acceptance of judgment. So how does that tefila begin? Hatzur tamim pa'alo. Hatzur tamim pa'alo, hatzur the rock, tamim pa'alo. All of his actions are complete. Now there, you could actually translate it as perfect. Because whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is perfect. Now, we often are boggled by it. We often can't see the perfection. But at the same time, as we saw about last week, in Judaism we are conditioned. We are conditioned to sometimes divorce our emotions from our intellect. That intellectually we know certain things to be true, even if emotionally we cannot possibly fathom it. So every single time we encounter loss, we accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only truthful, but God is perfect, as much as emotionally I can't actually comprehend how that's true, intellectually I accept it. So the Gemara says in number two, Holech Tamim. So here, what's fascinating, the Gemara Maseches Makos, let me just give you the background to this Gemara, although we'll look into it in a little bit greater depth in coming Shiurim. How many mitzvos do we have? Good, not a trick question, right? It's a fast day, I'm not giving any trick questions today. 613. The Gemara talks about the fact that at different stages throughout history, different Nevi'im condensed 613 into smaller numbers. into smaller numbers. So Ezra put it into 7, and Yeshayahu put it into 10. A different. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they discounted the remainder of the mitzvahs? Of course not. But you know, it's interesting. The job of a leader of the generation, or of the Jewish people, is to recognize. Let me say something differently. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to go ahead and give divrei tanchumin. You're not supposed to give words of consolation. B'mi shemeso mutalafanov. When someone has just encountered loss, and literally the dead is laying there unburied, you don't give words of consolation. Why not? What? Because the person can't hear it. Person can't hear. Just like the Gemara says that a person should not try to calm someone down, bishas kaso. If someone is, you know, like nostril flaring angry, don't try to calm them down. Why? Why? Because it doesn't work. Meaning that people are receptive to different things at different times. And this, by the way, this is like relationships 101. Right? You have to know how to speak to someone, when to say certain things, when not to say certain things. This comes up in marriages all the time, where often you have one spouse likes to talk, one spouse doesn't like to talk. So the spouse who wants to talk. The spouse who doesn't want to talk, doesn't want to talk. The spouse who wants to talk gets upset because the other one's not talking. But you have to learn to respect differences. You have to learn, ultimately, that if I'm in a relationship with someone, whether that someone is another person, whether that someone is God, I have to understand what the other person in the relationship is ready to do or not to do. So these great, the Gemara explains that these great leaders understood the generations that they had were not capable of doing all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of them. So the question now becomes, so what do we do? If we have a generation that is not capable of fitting the bill of 613 mitzvos, so we could either give week in, week out mussar about how terrible they are, but the truth is, as we know, doesn't work. Doesn't work. In fact, actually has a negative effect. Or you could, to a certain degree, lower your expectations. So you say, how can you lower your expectations? Is that giving up on people? So the truth is, the first episode of lowered expectations occurs when? Right? So Gan Eden, although, right, good, it does happen there, although the first time you really say God see explicitly that he has lowered his expectations. Right after the Mabul, excellence. That after HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the world, right, through the Mabul, and he rebuilds it through Noach and his family, what does he say? He says, Ki yetzer leif ha'adam ra minu araf, which is often erroneously translated as, man is evil from his inception, which is not true. God is not saying we're evil. God is just saying, we're problematic. We're problematic. Man is problematic. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? He's lowering his expectations. So on one hand, I happen to think it's one of the saddest psukim in Bereishis, because whenever you lower your expectations for someone, it's a sad moment. I thought we could be A. Now I realize it's not going to be A. It's okay, I'm not going to throw in the towel, I'll just lower it to B. It's very sad, but nevertheless, that approach is absolutely necessary for survival. So the leaders of generations understood, you could throw in the towel on the Jewish people because they can't live up to the expectations, or you can readjust the expectation. So the Gemara explains that what is one of the examples of readjusting the expectations? The Gemara quotes this kapitel from David HaMelech. And they say, the Gemara says, what is David doing in this kapitel? David is saying the following generation. And this goes back to the Yerushalmi that we had 2 shiurim ago. Remember, the generation of David HaMelech is very behaviorally religious, behaviorally pious, but what? But what? Corrupt in their, and bankrupt in their interpersonal relationships. So David HaMelech could say, you're sinners, you're terrible. Or he could say, no, let me give you the game plan. Let me give you the game plan. Is this the totality of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us? No. But David HaMelech understood that this is what his generation was capable of doing. So they understand that David was giving a religious plan for his generation to bring them up from their compromised situation. So the Gemara goes through each of these one by one. So number 2, Holech Tamim. Holech Tamim. So what does it mean, says the Gemara, to walk Tamim, to walk in completeness? Ze Avraham. This refers to Avraham Avinu, Dechsiv, His Halech Lefonai, Veye Tamim. So the first time we see that word used in the Torah is in the context of Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, walk before me, Walk well. If you look at number three, here's the pasuk. Vayavram ben Tishim Shana. Avram is 90 years old. V'teisha Shana, 99 years old. Vayira Hashem el Avram vayomer elav ani kel shakai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram. I am kel shakai. He's halich lefanai. Walk before me. Vayei tamim. And be complete. Be complete. Now, the truth is, now the obvious question becomes what? What does that mean? Here, if you're Avram Avinu and God tells you, be complete, you're wondering to yourself, okay, well, I understand, lech lecha, I understand what it means. Right? There's an explicit command, there's a mandate. What do you want from me when you want me to be complete? So the simple pshat, the simple approach, based on the context of the pasuk, is brought down in number four. Rashi says, ulefim midrasho, his halech lefanai b'mitzvas mila. So the simple understanding of the pasuk is that it's a reference to circumcision. It's a reference to bris milah. Ubedavar hazet tiyeh tamim. Shekol zman sha'ar lebecha atabamum lefanai. So where does Rashi get this? Where does the Medrash get this approach? Because immediately after this, God commands Avram Avinu at the age of 99 for bris milah. For bris milah. So therefore Rashi understands that hisalach lefanai v'yeh tamim, to be complete, means to remove the arla, to remove the foreskin, become physically complete before me. Okay, Targum Yonasan number 5 says the following. The problem, of course, which is taking this approach, is David HaMelech can't be referring to this. Why can't he be referring to this? Right. So first of all, it only applies to a specific segment of the population. That's number 1. If somebody bris milah. Number 2, David HaMelech is talking about guiding principles throughout life. Bris milah is a one-time event. So although it works for the definition for Avram Avinu, it won't work for our definition for the kapitel. So take a look at number 6. The Svarno comments, and he says the following. Ve'yeitamim, ukenei hashleimus ha'efshar lemin ha'enoshi. Become as complete as humanly possible. Heskel v'yadua osi, b'yadiyas drachai, so the Sfarno says something amazing. So before we look at the Sfarno, jump down for just a second to number 7. There's an amazing Gemara Maseches Sota, a Gemara that I'm sure we're all familiar with. So the Gemara says like this. And I just skipped to number 7 for a moment. What does it mean when it says in Devarim to go ahead and walk after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow after God? Is it possible for a person to truly walk in the path of God? The Torah also says, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlo. Torah says that God is an all-consuming fire, which would seem to indicate what? That if you get too close, what's going to occur? Person gets burnt. So on one hand, and by the way, there's even a stronger pasuk. Interestingly enough, the stronger pasuk is, the Torah says, V'davakta bo. Davakta. Now, davakta bo means what? You should cling. Where else do we see that lashon? Right, where else do we see it? Right, by marriage. Al kein ya'azov ish es ava vi'imo, v'davak bi'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. So v'davakta bo, which by the way, just as an aside, just a little commercial break over here, the Rambam in Hilchos Deo says something amazing. The Rambam says that he talks about Avas Hashem, loving God. So the Rambam says, what does it mean to love God? So he says, Ki Avas Ish Liisha, like the way a man loves a woman. So what's the pshat? So the Rambam says something amazing. He says the same way that when a person is in love, their mind is constantly preoccupied with thoughts of the person who they love. So that's what loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. That a person loves God to the point that I'm constantly preoccupied with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think about God all the time. Which is interesting, by the way, because where does the Rambam get that? He gets that presumably from the fact that the Torah uses the same exact word. V'davak dabo, v'davak bi'ishto. The Torah is creating a textual symmetry between the intensity, the passion, love of a marital relationship and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So come back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. So how could... Yes?
There's a difference between a man and a man. But the difference between a
So in defense of men, there's no question that there's a difference in that. And obviously the Rambam is going to write it from the male perspective. But I think there is that notion that when you love someone, you know, even if you are not consciously thinking about them, they're always are in your latent memory. They're always there. They're always on your mind. You know, Soloveitchik, just as an aside, this is a commercial on the commercial, but Soloveitchik says, that's why, interestingly enough, we make Birchas HaTorah one time in the morning. Birchas HaTorah one time in the morning, and that covers us throughout the entire day. Throughout the entire day. So the truth is, it doesn't work by any other bracha. Right? Think about it. If you have a cup of coffee in the morning, and if you love coffee, you're going to drink coffee throughout the day. I shouldn't use this example today, I'm sorry, right? But you know you're going to drink coffee throughout the day. So I make a shakol in the morning, and I love it. I'm going to drink. But it doesn't work. If there's a hefseke, there's some kind of interruption, you have to make the bracha each and every time. But yet, when it comes to Torah, one bracha in the morning. So the Rav explains, actually quoting a Tosfos in Sukkah, that the Jew never forgets about Torah. But the Rav explains that there are different levels of memory. There are different levels of consciousness. There are things that are front and foremost that we're actively thinking about right now. And there are things that are a little bit more recessed. But even the things that are recessed are still considered to be front and center on my mind. So I think that's what I'm talking about. Despite the fact that you're 100% right, that there might be a difference in how men and women actively think about their spouse, but for both of them, hopefully, the consciousness is still directed towards their loved one. So look at number 7. So the Gemara says the following. So going back to our Gemara. So how could I be expected to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could I be expected to cling to God when it says that God is an all-consuming fire? So the Gemara says, Elo lahalich achar midosav. We're going to come back to number 6 in just a moment. Rather, what does it mean to walk in the way of God? What does it mean to cling to God? To emulate the attributes of God. Mahu malbish harumim, just as God clothes the unclothed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam and Chava their first set of clothing. So too, you help those who don't have clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited the sick. Right, as he did with Avraham Avinu after his Mila, so too, Av Ata Baker Cholim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichim Aveilim, God comforts the mourner, Vahi Acharei Mos Avraham, Vahi Varech Elokim Et Yitzchak Bino, Av Ata Nichim Aveilim, so too you comfort mourners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kover Mesim, God buries the dead, Dichsev Vayikpar Oso Bagai, referring to the fact that God himself buried Moshe Rabbeinu, Av Ata Kover Mesim. So the Gemara understands that the concept of walking in the way of God, the concept of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an emulation of divine attributes. Look at what God does, and that those are the same things that I am supposed to do. Now go back to number 6. The Svarno writes, now we understand, Svarno says, that's the meaning of Tamim. That's the meaning of being complete. Ve'yei Tamim, uknei hashlemus ha'efshar lemina anoshi. Become as complete as humanly possible. What does that mean? Haskel biyadua osi biyedias terachai. Look, bless you. Look at the way I do things in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, ubehidamuscha elai kifia efshar etzlecha. And divine emulation. And emulate me to the greatest degree possible. Ki amnam. Pu'ulas kol nimtza Torah al tzuraso, ki amro, hodi eni nas derechecha, v'ze hashlemos ha'achron lemin ha'enoshi. So the Sfarno takes it a step further. And the Sfarno says that when God says to Avraham Avinu, heye tamim, this is a general obligation to engage in divine emulation. God says to Avraham, watch me, God. Whatever I do, that's what I want you to do as well. And if you engage in divine emulation, then indeed, veye tamim. That is how we reach the pinnacle of human completion. When man becomes godlike, that's when he can be called tamim, that's when he can be called truly complete. That's the Svarno. Look at number 8. So the Aruch Liner, and again, obviously, although we can't plug Rashi, into David HaMelech's Holich Tamim, because Rashi, again, has it narrowly referring to Bris Mila, this Sfarno, in fact, does work. Because what David HaMelech is then saying, what? Is be a Holich Tamim. Be someone who constantly walks in perfection. Now, according to this one, what would that mean? Constantly engage in divine emulation. Just as an aside, why does David HaMelech say Holech Tamim? Why doesn't he just say Tamim? Or Tamim Tiyah? Why Holech Tamim? Why walk is a Tamim? Development. So Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcher brings down, he quotes the Zohar, who says that Tzaddikim are called Holchim. The righteous are always called walkers, are always called movers. Because what's the goal in life? The goal in life is perpetual motion. Perpetual motion. Now, I want to say something interesting about perpetual motion. That perpetual motion, is going to sound strange, actually goes in both directions. Perpetual motion goes forward, and perpetual motion goes backwards. What does that mean? There's an interesting Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch writes on the mitzvah of Som Tasim Alech HaMelech, that you're supposed to appoint the king. So there's a big controversy as to whether appointing a Jewish king is really something we want, or it's simply an accommodation because the nations of the world have a king as well. So the Sefer HaChinuch says something amazing. The Sefer HaChinuch says, you know why you need a king? Because without a king, without a centralized leader, society becomes stagnant. He says, even a bad king might take you in the wrong direction, but he says something amazing. He says, negative movement is better than no movement. Right? What does that mean, negative movement? It sounds so strange. We normally think just the opposite. Better to remain status quo than to regress. So Soloveitchik here also explains very beautifully, in a different context, speaks out the idea, he speaks out the redemptive nature of sin. The redemptive nature of sin is that when a person sins, when a person falls, they clearly recognize their Achilles heel. That's the amazing part about sin. Sin identifies my weakness. My weakness. How else do you know about your weaknesses unless they are exposed? That's the, I'm not going to use this formulation again, but for the sake of illustration, that's the beauty of sin. Now, I'm not encouraging anyone to sin, but the idea is, it happens. Once it happens, I might as well turn around the experience for some type of growth mechanism. So now I've sinned, I realize where I'm weak, I realize where I need to strengthen myself. That's the redemptive nature of sin. So the point is that sometimes even backward movement, sometimes even negative movement, could actually translate into positive movement because it shows me where I need to go. So David HaMelech, if we plug in the Smyrna, David HaMelech says, Holech Tamim means what? A person has to be constantly engaged in divine emulation. Not just once in a while, not just when I have time, not just when it's convenient. Holech. Constant movement. A person has to be asking themselves each and every day, how can I be more like God? That's it. And if you do that, holech, a person is in a constant state of movement, a person will be growing each and every day. All right, take a look at number 8. The Aruch Lener. So I'm just giving you a number of definitions. And by the beauty of this is, and this is the beauty of film in general, there's not a right or a wrong. They're all right. The beauty of David HaMelech's words is that they are so multifaceted, that they mean different things to us in different stages of life.
The word emulate disturbs me a little bit. I've always heard that we are to emulate Hashem. And it seems to me that, is that something that we're just attaining so that we continue to grow? I mean, no one can become perfect. We have a very dear friend who, if you ask him how he is, he'll always say, and we somewhere read only Hashem is perfect. And so how do we, that word emulate just disturbs me because we can't be like Hashem. We can
emulate doesn't, right, emulate doesn't have to mean that you become, I'll give you an example. So who's a child's first role model? Parents. Right, hopefully. Right? The first role model is a parent. So you ask that child what the child wants to be. I want to be my mommy. I want to be my daddy. So does that mean the child's going to come out? No, it creates a path, yeah, a role. It creates something to aspire to. And even as the child matures, halavai, that child should still see his or her parents as role models. But as the child matures, the child realizes, I'm not going to be exactly like my mother and father because my parents are different people. But there are elements of those parental role models that I do yearn to inculcate within myself. So I don't think anyone has, you know, has a halaminos thinking that I'm going to be God. But that doesn't stop God from being my ultimate role model. I would like to be as God-like as possible while recognizing that I will never be God himself. I don't think that's a contradiction. I think you could want to emulate and be desirous of attaining all of the midos with recognizing the limitations of actually becoming the person whom you, or the entity whom you emulate. Let's take a look at number 8. There's another Aruch Lener, a beautiful approach. Again, all just different. I'm sorry? Let's speak for yourself. Everybody wants to be like, of course we want to be like God.
How?
Of course. Life is a big responsibility. You're right. This, what David HaMelech is upping the ante. There's no question. It's a lot easier to go ahead and say, I want to be, you know, like another human being. What David HaMelech is saying, but that's not the goal. The goal is really divine emulation. But I want to be clear, when we say like God, so like God doesn't, like God, as Ms. Edelman was saying, obviously has its limitations. A person is not going to be like God in his or her creative power, though we do have creative powers as well. But the idea is, if you look, if I look for a combination of midos that I am striving for, who is my role model? And the answer says the Sfarno. Well, we'll get to Avraham Avinu in just a little bit. The answer says the Sferno is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the message that, see, here's something amazing also. You have to look at it in context. Who is God speaking to? And he's talking to Avraham Avinu. Who does Avraham have as a role model? He doesn't, right? If you look in the community of mankind, although, again, we have to give a lot of credit to his father, Terach. We actually spoke about this on our Wednesday night Parsha Shira a number of months ago. Terach did an incredible transformative cathartic process of tshuva before his death. So Avram could have learned a lot from his father. But Avram, every person needs a Rebbe. Everybody person needs someone who they look up to. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, I'll tell you what. His halich lefonai v'yei tamim. Whatever you see me, God, do, that's what I'm asking you to do. And yes, says the Sfarno, that becomes the model for mankind going forward. Tall order. Yes. percent. We have very good frames of reference. True. Take a look at number 8. The Aruch Haner. So the Aruch Haner writes the following. You have a little of Yaakov Ettlinger. So take a look at number 8. The Aruch Haner writes, the Gemara holich tamim ze Avraham. Okay. Lo ratza lomar shedome li Avraham ul Yaakov ul sha'ar tzadikim tikachoshev lekamon. So the Gemara says, it doesn't literally mean that we're supposed to be exactly like Avraham Avinu. De'im kein, my kula hekel David. Hare ein lecha koshi gadol mizeh, les damos le'avos ha'olam. So in the context I was giving you before, that why did David HaMelech, according to the Gemara, write this kapitel? Because he's trying to go ahead and make Torah and mitzvos more digestible. So you give people 5 books of Torah, 613 mitzvot, it can be a little too much to swallow. So let me give you a kapitel. Let me give you a chapter of all the different things that God asks of us. So says the Aruch Lener, the Gemara says that Holech Tamim refers to Avraham Avinu. So now let's try to play this out. David HaMelech is trying to make things easier for his generation. So what does he say to them? Holech Tamim, be like Avraham. What's the problem? That's not making things easier. That's not making things easier. I'm sorry. It is easier than God. That is true. That is true. But think about it this way. But Avram emulated God. So ultimately, you know, if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. So ultimately, you know, it still leads to God emulation. So that, but it is easier than God. So the Aruch Haner says, I don't understand what's happening over here. What does the Gemara mean when it says that Holech Tamim means to be like Avraham Avinu? How is David HaMelech making Judaism, making Torah any more digestible to us by telling us to be like Avram? So the Aruch Haner says something amazing. He says the following. He says, El Ratzel Lomar, rather, what does it mean? She misyageya lehidamos lemidos halalu, she nisparu b'tzadikim ha'elu. So it doesn't mean to be like Avram in every aspect. but rather it means to emulate Avram Avinu's approach to life. What was Avram Avinu's approach to life? Says the Aruch HaNer, and this is going to shock you because it's not what immediately comes to mind. He says, "Dahainu lehishalich b'temimus lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, dahamitzvah she'osa kol kavanos l'shem shemayim shezeu temimus." So says the Aruch HaNer, you know what it means to be Abrahamitic? Whatever you do, do it completely. Whatever you do, give it your entire heart and soul. That was Avram Avinu, and that, says the Aruch HaNer, is what the Gemara means when it says, Holech Tamim Zeu Avram. What do you mean? We're supposed to be Avram? Just like Avram was singularly committed to whatever he did in life, so too, whatever we do, we must exercise that same level of Abrahamic commitment. So let me give you one illustration of this Abrahamic commitment. You know, it's interesting. Sagan of Soloveitchik points out, he says that if you look at the end of Parshas Noach, at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, so Torah says that Avram and Sarah and Lot went to Canaan, and who else did they bring with them? Eis hanefesh asher asu b'charan. Literally, the souls they made in Charan. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Avram megayer ha'anoshim, Sarah megayer ha'anoshim, Avram's converting the men, Sarah's converting them, and they're coming with the Rambam rites. The Rambam is coming with thousands upon thousands of followers. What's intriguing? What happened to them? Right? What happened to them? Because remember, fast forward a little bit, they get to Canaan, there's regional famine, Avram and Sarah and Lot go down to Egypt. There's never a mention again about the followers. So Rav Soloveitchik says, they left. They went home. Meaning that, sure, the inspiration was great, and Avram was a wonderful Rebbe, but the truth is, when they realized that this lifestyle was not going to be as easy as they thought it would be, when they realized that, you know, inspiration kind of waxes and wanes, it doesn't stay with you all of the time, that they're not waking up in the morning feeling totally inspired, they went home. Now again, they went home and still brought those sparks of inspiration back with them as well, and had a profound effect on humanity. But they went home. Now, how would most people react to that? Remember, those people represented the totality of Avram Avinu's life work. Those were his followers. Those are the people he inspired. That was his kehila. And now what happened? They're gone. So how would most people react?
Failure.
I have failed. And the way that most people react to profound, crushing failure is they throw in the towel. They simply give up. But amazingly enough, the Rav points out that why does Avram Avinu go down to Mitzrayim? So the truth is, we classically assume that it's because of famine. It's because of the Rav. But the truth is, the Ramban and others point out that if God told Avram to come to Canaan, he would have taken care of him through a famine as well. Why did he go down to Egypt? Because Egypt is the cradle of civilization. Because everything that is important in humanity at this point in history is happening in Egypt. And Avram Avinu feels that if he's going to have an influence anywhere, he can go ahead and he can have an influence in Egypt. Does he have an influence in Egypt? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No one is receptive to the Abrahamic message in Egypt. So what happens now? Failure number two. Interestingly enough, Torah goes on to say that Avram Avinu, wherever he goes, he keeps building mizbechos. He keeps building all this. But the Rav points out that there's something missing from the text. Torah tells us that he built mizbechos, but it doesn't say what? That he offered karbanos. Right, so why would you erect an altar if you're not going to offer sacrifices? So the Rav explains, because mizbech doesn't have to mean an altar. You know what else mizbech can mean? It means a stage. It means a stage. He made for himself a platform. Why? Because wherever he went, he gave drashos. Wherever he went ahead and preached monotheism. Wherever he went, he tried to spread the gospel of God. He tried to teach people about the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you're a failure. You'll excuse me. Right? Your followers went home. You couldn't influence Egypt. And if you asked Avram Avinu, what are you going to do in the face of failure? So Avram Avinu would tell you, what failure are you referring to? Right? I am singularly committed to spreading the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the four corners of the world. You know, what the effects are, that I can't control. I can't control who listens. I can't control who comes along. I can't control who changes. I can't control who reacts. I can't. Those are all variables that are beyond my reach. What I can control is the fact that I will not yield. The only time, by the way, he finally stops is when, interestingly enough, is when Sarah Imenu dies. When Sarah dies, we find no more dynamic activity on behalf of Avraham Avinu. We find no more. The Rav points out, Sarah was his partner. Sarah was his partner. There was no Avram without Sarah. There was no Sarah without Avram. So now ultimately when she dies, his last remaining job is to ensure the continuity and to get Yitzchak married off. But until that moment, Avram Avinu is vibrant and whatever happens, happens. Says the Aruch Haner, that's what David HaMelech means. Well, that's what the Gemara means. Holech Tamim, the Gemara says, Zeo Avram. Can it mean, be like Avram Avinu? Who wouldn't want to be like Avraham Avinu? But being like Avraham Avinu in a literal sense gets us back to the Sfarno of divine emulation. Be, no, says, therefore, says the Aruch Haner, be like Avraham Avinu, be singularly, wholly committed to whatever it is that you're doing in life. Now, I just want to point something out. This doesn't have to mean Avraham had one pursuit. I think for most of us, we have multiple pursuits. You know, Rav Kook had a beautiful saying. He said, you know, when you work, work. When you learn, learn. And when you daven, daven. What does that mean? So Rav Kook, it's really the same basic idea. Rav Kook understood that success in life is when you wholly devote yourself to whatever it is that you're doing. Which, of course, is a very hard lesson for us because we live in the age of multitasking. Right? We can go ahead and, you know, type an email, talk on the phone, send a text message, and, you know, make dinner, you know, all at the same time. But of course, what ends up happening is nothing really is 100%. Right? It's Maisim B'chol Yom, you hear, it's the new phone etiquette. It's understood that when people are on the phone, they're most probably going to be doing other things. You know, sometimes you could hear like the swoosh of the email as it goes out, you know, in the background. And that's not success. You can't be successful like that in life. You can't be successful. Holech Tamim means you have to be singularly dedicated to whatever it is that you're doing in life. So whether it means a more global life pursuit, that whatever you're going to do, sink your teeth into it and do it. Does it mean that you're going to go ahead and be successful like that? Maybe not. I saw an incredible mosar. There's mosar everywhere. I took my children to Hershey Park when the schools had break a couple of weeks ago. And if you ever read, I was there before. I guess I never read it. Milton Hershey. It's a good mosar. Yesh chachma bagoyim. Milton Hershey failed at his first three candy businesses. Failed miserably. People told him he was a fool. People told him he was an absolute fool to give up and do something else. And yet, okay, amazingly enough, that's tamimus. That's what it means to be a tamim. That if you believe in something, obviously the trick in life is knowing what to believe in. Because sometimes failure does mean you really need to try something else. Right? Sometimes failure does mean you're barking up the wrong tree. That's the fine line in life to walk, to know exactly where I should exhibit the staying power. But leaving that aside, Sarah's the Aruch Haner, as the Gemara means, Holech Tamim, Zeo Avram, be singularly and wholly committed to whatever you do in life, and even if it doesn't work out at first, keep your staying power, keep in it until you're successful. Okay. Look at number 9. And again, just so you understand, this is only the first word. It's only the first word in the capital. So look at number 9. So this is the Meshivas Nefesh. So I have you can see the biography over here as well. The biography is on the next page. Rav Yochanan ben Aaron Luria. So you can see his biography there. So the Meshivas Nefesh writes the following. He says like this. His halich lefana ve'yetamim. So he writes velo ne'emar ve'yein tzadik o chassid. Marot zelomar tamim. So the Meshivas Nefesh picks up on is the interesting usage of the word. God doesn't tell Avram to be righteous. He doesn't tell Avram Avinu to be pious. He tells Avram to be complete. V'yiroyli, shemedaber, listen to this profound idea. V'zeh shemedaber b'shleimos hamidos. It's referring to character traits. Specifically what? Sheroi l'chol adam l'hachzik b'mitzua hamidos. Every person must strive for mitzua hamidos. Mitzua hamidos means what? Literally, the middle ground of character traits. like emtsa. Emtsa. Mitzua hamidos means that a person must strive to find the perfect middle ground in all character traits. Now, what does that mean? Kilo, look at this profound statement. Kilo nimtza mida ba'olam, shelo nimtza la makom l'shvach le'is min ha'itim. There is no such thing as an unnecessary character trait. Every human character trait is necessary at some point in time in life. He says, for example, Obidaber b'mashani medaber ato b'midos hanedivos atzronios. So whether it's giving, whether it's generosity, whether it's stinginess, alacrity, avirleif, strength, pachdon, fear, morach halevav, anava, gaiva, humility, arrogance, cruelty, compassion, all of these different attributes, all of these different attributes are necessary at some point in time. Since the Meshivas Nefesh, there is no such thing as a character trait that is supposed to totally be expunged. No such idea as a character trait that is totally unnecessary and totally wrong, that a person should try to divorce themselves from it in totality. Look at letter number 10. Ella, Ella lefi da'ati, kasher bi'arti, asi shapir v'achi v'irusho, ki hinini mechavev es avram, shu nishar litzavos es banav u'bnei beisel derach Hashem yisbarach, v'karov lahem sheyishmeru me'acher shumadrichen api midosav shemimitzuav v'nakel akablam v'lispos. So listen to this, says the Meshivas Nefesh. Says, you want to know the greatness of Avraham Avinu? The greatness of Avraham Avinu is that he knew the perfect balance of all character traits. You know, we often associate that Avraham Avinu is the Isha Chesed, right? That he was the man of kindness. And he was, that no question, that was his dominant trait. But yet, when Lot was taken captive, what does he do? Right? He goes to war. He goes to war. But yet, he also argues on behalf of Stone. Right? He loves his children, but yet when God tells him that he needs to send away Yishmael, that's exactly what he does. He accepts the wealth that Paro gives him, but yet he refuses the wealth offered him by Melech Stone. And the truth is, it's more than what we have time for today, but the Meshivas Nefesh actually goes through Mida by Mida, how Avraham Avinu possessed each and every one of them. So what's the ultimate goal in life? The ultimate goal in life is to be a composite of all character traits, but more importantly, to know the right balance and the right proportion of each. To know whether, for example, you know, the Rambam brings down, the Rambam says that, you know, one of the worst character traits is anger. Is anger. But yet, a person has to have some element of anger. Why? Right? Because if you have no element of anger, anger used in an appropriate way leads to appropriate righteous indignation. We do not believe in a live and let live policy in the world. If we see something wrong happening, we are supposed to be able to have the courage to stand up. That comes from a positive. It angers me when I see wrongdoing. Gaiva, arrogance is terrible. But if you have no shred of arrogance, then what? Then what? Then you become a welcome mat. Then you're a shmata. Then you have no sense of self. Right? So positive arrogance, that's the Gemara Masech Soda brings down, that a Talmud Chacham has to have a shminish of a shminish, 1/64th of arrogance. Everybody has to have a little bit of it, because you have to believe in yourself. You have to recognize that you're special. You have to recognize that you count, that your life is significant, that other people don't have the right to mistreat you or to trample on you. That's gaiva. That's gaiva. It's appropriate gaiva. It's appropriate arrogance, but it's some level of arrogance nevertheless. So the Mashiach has never said something amazing. There's no such thing in Judaism as a mida, as a character, as an attribute that we reject. Our job is to become a composite. Our job is to find the right proportions. Our job is to figure out which situation calls for which particular mida. And who was the ultimate paradigm of the perfect composite and percentages of midos? Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu. And therefore, says the Meshivas Nefesh, that's what it means when it says, Holech Tamim, who is the one, and now, by the way, this is a beautiful, now we understand what it means, complete. Complete means, yes, I must be a well-rounded individual who possesses all of the midos in the correct moderation and knows when to use certain ones and knows when to put other ones on the back burner. Holech Tamim, that's what it means to walk in a state of completion, midos completion. The Gemara says, Zeu Avraham. Interestingly enough, by the way, that's why Shilas Nefesh goes on to explain. That's why Avraham Avinu is the father of the Jewish people. You ever wondered to yourself, like, why did he merit that designation? Definitely a great Baal. I'm sorry?
He was the first Jew.
He wasn't the first Jew. He was the first monotheist. You might know what he's Jewish until our Sinai. But the truth is, you know, why isn't Adam the father of the Jewish people? Why isn't Moshe? I mean, why Avraham? Why Avraham Avinu? And so the answer is, according to Rishis Lezion, because Avraham Avinu had something that no one else had. Avraham Avinu had balance. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he was, there was that one episode, and it's only one. I mean, that's greatness in and of itself. But there was that one episode where what? Where he lost the balance. Aaron HaKohen was great. One episode, Echet HaEgel, the sixth parasha, lost the balance. Which, by the way, I mean, Halavai, we lose our balance more times in an hour than these people lost their balance in a lifetime. But nevertheless, we understand that Avraham Avinu is the one and only figure in our Chumash who never lost the balance. And that's why he is the Av Hamon Goyim. He is the father of our people. Why? Because Avraham Avinu is the only one of the personalities that speaks to each and every one of our neshamos. Because no matter who and what we are, Avraham Avinu had that same midah as well. Yes? No. He was balanced. Perfectly balanced, which does not mean perfection. Like, meaning, I'll give you a perfect example. So, you know, according to some of the Mefarshim, Avraham Avinu made a mistake by going down to Mitzrayim in the midst of famine. He made a mistake. He's clearly not perfect. Maybe he tolerated Yishma a little too long. He was clearly not perfect. So you could be imperfect, but yet still be balanced with your midos. You could react behaviorally to certain things in the wrong way, but yet emotionally still keep that balance. That seems to be the Avraham Avinu personality. So this is the Av Hamon Goyim. He is the father of our people because he was really the only figure who was the perfect composite and perfect balance of each of the midos, while still, of course, he's a human being, having human frailties, just like any other human being. So according to this approach, holich tomim, be like an Avraham Avinu. Now, again, we keep going back to the same thing. Is David HaMelech actually saying, be like Avraham? No, we're talking about what we aspire to be. What David HaMelech is trying to say to his generation is, you have a lot of flaws. But you know what the amazing part is? Rav Soloveitchik also talks about this. He says, what's the greatest obstacle to tshuva? Greatest obstacle to tshuva. Effort. Oh, affluence. That could be as well. I didn't think about that one. All right, what's the second? Right? What else? Gaiva, admitting. The truth is, most people think that they're beyond repair. That's not gaiva. No, it's not gaiva. It's actually just the opposite. It's a total lack of self-esteem. Most people think to themselves, I'm damaged. I'm damaged goods. And the truth is, no one could fix me. And even if I fix myself for today, I'm just going to go back to being damaged tomorrow. The beauty of this concept is, no matter how damaged you are, a person doesn't have to learn a new skill set in order to be successful. They just have to recalibrate and rechannel. I don't have to undo anything. I just have to figure out the better composite, the better calibration, what's the word I'm looking for? Balance in my life. That's what I have to figure out. So, what's sin? Sin means a person that their meadows are just a little bit out of whack. They're a little bit out of sync. I just have to get everything back in sync. That's all I need to do in order to get back on the right track. Becoming a good person doesn't have to mean undoing myself. Becoming a better person just means recalibrating the person I am. Yes?
I always heard that kind means like Mr. Mark. So it's not like you're a bad person.
It's just that you're saying balance. Right. Chet, in its literal etymological sense, actually means void. Emptiness. There's an emptiness because when a person does something wrong, they've created where holiness should have been, there is now no holiness there. Which makes the tshuva process so much easier because now all it means is I have to fill the void. I have to fill the void. I don't have to become, I don't have to change. I mean, sometimes people do have to change their lives dramatically, but leaving aside the dramatic examples, it just means recalibration. Okay, that's all I can tell them. Let's end with one more. Number 11. So this is a beautiful, beautiful idea by the Ben Yehoyada. So again, let's just begin. Let's tie the first couple of approaches together, then we'll conclude with the last one here. So once again, we're trying just to understand what David HaMelech means with this one little word, tamim. He's talking to his generation. He's trying to give them a roadmap for successful living. What does it mean to be a tamim? So we saw Rashi, who understands literal, and the Gemara then comes along and says, what does it mean to be a tamim? Zeu Avram. You want to be a tamim? To be like Avram. So, okay, Rashi points out maybe it's bris milah, but we point out that can't really be what David HaMelech is referring to. This Sfarno who explained that tamim means what? Sfarno. You guys have to do something. Divine emulation. Good, divine emulation. To literally look, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that's what I am going to do as well. That's the Sfarno. We then went on to see the Aruch Lener. The Aruch Lener explained, what's Tamim? Singular devotion. Be Abrahamitic in the same way that Avraham Avinu was singularly devoted to everything he did. So to holy Tamim, whatever you do in life, make sure that you are wholly and totally devoted to the task at hand, or to the life endeavor at hand. We then saw the Meshivas Nefesh, who took the approach of what? Tamim? Balance. Right? Balance. Complete midos calibration. You need everything in life. There's no such thing as a midah that is unimportant. There's no such thing as an attribute that one doesn't need to live successfully. We need everything. The trick in life is figuring out, like ingredients, right? How much of this, how much of that. Sometimes I need a little bit more of this, a little bit less of that, but you need everything. And the goal is to be an Avraham Avinu, to be an Abrahamic Tamim, who's able to not only possess all the midos, but to ultimately know when and how to use each of them. And this leads us to our last approach. So take a look at number 11. The Ben Yehoyada writes the following. Ben Yehoyada, also known as the Chacham Tzvi. So the Ben Yehoyada writes, this is a beautiful, beautiful approach. He says, Holech tamim ze Avram. Kashya, im tzarech liyos ka Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom, ech sag mishom, valo Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom, kim ka atar kulu, ki mefarish v'mishnah. So everybody's bothered by the same basic question, that the Gemara seems to make it sound like being an Avram Avinu is so easy. Right? Holech tamim, just be Avram. Great, thank you very much. Hey, and remember, it doesn't fit in line with what David HaMelech is trying to accomplish. David is trying to give us more digestible and more manageable Torah and Judaism. So what does it mean to be in Avram? So look what he says so beautifully. V'nirali b'siyata d'shmaya. Hakavona sheyelech b'mida tova asher nishtabach ba'Avraham. What does it mean to be like Avram? To go ahead and emulate, see, unlike the Aruch Lener, who sees that the greatness of Avraham Avinu was his combination of all midos, the Ben Yehoyada urges us to emulate the primary midah of Avraham. What was the primary midah of Avraham? He says, "Vizohi mitzas gemilos chasodim sheba yihya ha'adam tamim." How does a person become complete like Avraham Avinu? Gemilos chasodim, human kindness. Being kind and good to other people makes you a complete person. But how? Listen to this. Ki efshar lekayim kol mitzvas asei kulam. Excuse me. Here's what's interesting about Torah. No one person can fulfill all mitzvos. If you're a man, you have some mitzvos. You're a woman, you have some mitzvos. You're a kohen, you have other mitzvos. You're a king, you have other. No one person can fulfill all 613. Listen to this. But if you do kindness with others, right? You do good things for others. Maybe someone who's deathly ill. Someone who's held captive. So listen to what the Ben Yehoyada says. Something amazing. When you do a chesed, when you do a kindness for someone else, right? What's the essence of gemilas chasadim? What's the essence of it? What's the goal? When you do something for someone else, what's the goal?
It's
that they should be independent. Right? The goal of doing chesed for someone else is to allow them to stand on their own two feet. That's the goal. By the way, that motivates our entire modicum of giving. We give in a way that doesn't make people feel beholden. We give in a way that makes people feel independent. We do chesed in a way that makes people feel confident that they could stand on their own two feet. That is the goal. So it says that Ben Yod is something amazing. You know what the essence of chesed is? To become an enabler for someone else's success. And if you become an enabler for someone else's success, guess what? You get to share in their successes as well. So if somebody was down on their luck, and I helped lift them back up, and now Baruch Hashem, they're living successfully, every chesed they do, every mitzvah they do, I have a portion in that as well, because I have become the ultimate enabler. And he goes on and he gives a couple of different examples. He says, V'chin Avram, Shene'emar bo, Kiyem kol ha-Torah kula. So the Ben Yehuda quotes the Gemara, this Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah. So what does that mean? First of all, whenever you see statements like that, you have to schedule, what does that mean? Avram couldn't have kept the entire Torah. There wasn't the Beis HaMikdash. He said, what are you talking about? There was no kahuna. Avram Avinu, whatever, you'll fill in the blanks. Right? It's impossible to say that he literally kept the entire Torah. Listen to what he says. Gam kein al derech zeh, ki hu haye megayir geirim, sha'al yadu mekayim mitzvos, va'az yesh lo zechus bekulam. So says Ben Yehuda, you know what it means? Avram Avinu brought people closer to Shechina. When Avram Avinu was an enabler for people to lead more meaningful and successful lives, and therefore when it says he kept the entire Torah, what it means to say is that ultimately he had a share. He had success in life more than just his own personal success, but he shared in the success of those whom he enabled to grow. V'lachin amar l'Hashem yisparach, his halech lefanai v'yeitamim, kilomar, his halich b'mitzvos gemilas chasodim, shesharasha b'midas hachesed, shehi lefonai tamid. Ki Hashem is, okay, so he goes on and he explains, that's what it means. That Avram Avinu, through his chesed, through his kindness, enabled others to become great, and therefore, by definition, had what? Had a share in all of their accomplishments as well. So that's what it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hisalech lefanei v'yeitamim, Avram, keep doing what you're doing, because if you keep doing what you're doing, guess what? You reap the dividends. Every person can only accomplish so much. But if you influence and enable those around you, then you share in their successes as well. And then you have not only what you personally accomplished, but you share in those accomplishments of all those around you as well. It's a new understanding also in Gemilas Chasadim. We all extol the virtue of doing kindness for another. But it's not just doing kindness because doing kindness is a nice thing. The goal is to enable a person to stand on their own, to accomplish on their own. And if I do that, I share in all of their future accomplishments. So we can plug this into David HaMelech's idea as well. If we go back, we come full circle. According to the Yerushalmi, why did David HaMelech write this kapitel? Going back to our first year, three shiurim ago. Why did David HaMelech write this kapitel? What's happening within the Jewish people? What's happening? Right? They're not being nice to each other. They're not being nice to each other. Right? They're ultimately going ahead and they are behaviorally or ritually pious, but they're being terrible to each other. So what is David HaMelech saying? You don't understand. Being nice to one another, doing chesed for one another, is not just a nice thing. When you do something for someone, you grow as a result as well. There is no one person that can do everything. But if I become a chesed enabler for those around me, if I do good and allow others to feel good about themselves, then what? Then what? I share in their accomplishments as well. I reap the benefits of their accomplishments as well. And therefore, I'm able to accomplish much more than just what I as an individual could accomplish by myself. Therefore, David HaMelech begins by saying, Holy Tumim. Be a Tumim. What does Tumim mean? Be like Avram Avinu. What does it mean to be an Avram Avinu? To be the person that kept Kol HaTorah Kula. How can you keep Kol HaTorah Kula? How can you keep the entire Torah? By being a Baal Chesed. Because when you become the enabler for others, by definition, you have the opportunity to share in their growth as well. David HaMelech recognizing that in order for the generation to fix its interpersonal fallouts, people have to understand that our personal success is really dependent on the next person's success. If you're successful, then I'm successful. But if I'm individually successful, everybody's reach is only so far. Holich tamim, be the kind of person that becomes a growth enabler for others and thereby reap the benefits of not only your own good deeds, but of the good deeds that you've enabled another to do as well. And the truth is, bless you, with this will really conclude, it fits in very beautifully with Purim. The truth is, we know that there's a mitzvah of mishloach manos ishtarei eu matanos la'evyonim. So why? Why? What's the essence of that mitzvah? People don't have enough hametashen in their own homes. I need your hametashen. You need my hametashen. What's the pshat? So remember, on the most basic level, we know that when Haman came to Achashverosh to try to seal the destruction of the Jewish people, he said, "Yeshno am echad mefuzar umefura bena amim." There is one nation. There was one nation that is so splintered, that is so scattered, that is so factitious. Is that a word? Factitious. All right, fractious. Okay, good. That's a lot of groups. All right, it's a lot of groups. And he says that, and he was saying this in a disparaging fashion. What kind of people does this? You would think that a people who's so small, that a people that's such a minority, that a people that's always been persecuted, would settle their differences and be one nation. And look at these people. They can't even get it together amongst themselves. You know what the sad part is? He wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. That was the one truth that he did say. It is the great anomaly of the Jewish people that for some reason we have difficulty holding it together despite all of the external pressures levied upon us. So Mordechai and Esther understood that if we want to avoid future Hamans, then we have to become a people of Mishloach Manos Ishtarei'ehu U'matanos La'evyonim. So when a person gets matanos La'evyonim, recognizing, I'm going to allow someone else to stand on their feet. And when I enable someone else, it's not just a nice thing. The only way I can become complete is if I help you become complete. The only way you can become complete is if you help me. Because then we get to share in each other's accomplishments. Otherwise, it's every man for himself, every woman for herself, and no person could accomplish beyond their limited reach. And I think it's another sort of mishloach manos. I would suggest the following. What happens often on Purim is that people tend to give to their own circle of friends. Right? It's nice. You have a chevra, you have a group of people who you know, who you love. You'll excuse me, but your friends already know that you like them. Your friends already know how you feel about them. But there's a whole people out there. There's a whole people out there. And by the way, there's also a community outside of the Orthodox community as well. There's a whole community of Jews. And they're all beautiful neshamos, and they're all good people. Whether a person looks like you, believes like you, practices like you, that's Purim. That's Purim. I said on Shabbos, you know, for every door in Purim that has 15 mishloach manos piled high by it, right, there are so many other doors that have nothing by them. So if the goal on Purim is to become an enabler for another Jew, make sure, if you're delivering 50 shalach manos, you know, make sure that one of them goes in a direction of building someone up. Make sure you give mishloach manos to at least one person who you know when they get that, they're going to say, wow, someone cares about me. Someone believes in me. Someone took the time to take out of Purim's hectic day to come and deliver something to me. If they think I'm a something, then maybe I really am something, and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what a little cellophane paper, you know, a couple of hamantashen and whatever other chazarai people throw in, you know. You would be surprised how transformative that can be for an individual. We have a beautiful opportunity right here. David HaMelech says, holich tamim, become growth enablers for others. A little chesed, a little kindness could build a person up in such a profound way. And when we build someone else who's maybe not in our immediate circle up, we will share in all of their future accomplishments. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Wish everyone a freilich and Purim. Okay, we're going to spend one more shir on tamim. It's really going to be it. And then Amir Tzav Shem, because there's one approach of Rashi which we didn't have time for today. And then next week, right? I think there's two more weeks before until we stop for Pesach. Is that correct? Okay. Well, we for sure have next week, Amir Tzav Shem. Next weekend we have.